This is Psalm 84. And it says, "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul, my life, my inner self longs for and greatly desires the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh shall sing for joy to the living God. The bird has found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed and greatly favored are those who dwell in your house in your presence. They'll be singing your praises all the day long. Blessed and greatly favored is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Each of them appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. See our shield, O God, and look at the face of your anointed. The king is your representative. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather stand as a doorkeeper at the threshold of the house of my God than live at ease in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows grace and favor and honor, and no good thing will he uphold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed and greatly favored is the man who trusts in you, believing in you, relying on you, and committing himself to you with confident hope and expectation." "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather stand as a doorkeeper at the threshold of the house of my God than live at ease in the tents of wickedness." We're created in a way where we enjoy the presence of God. And there's so many counterfeits, there's so many other things. There's such a war for our attention. But the way God made us from the beginning is to enjoy his presence. "My soul, my life, my inner self longs for and greatly desires the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." We don't have to have everything figured out to enter into the presence of God. There's that verse where he talks about if anybody has anything against you, go fix that, go figure that out, go apologize and make that right before you go pray. You know, if you realize, whoa, you messed up and you did not repent of that and make that right with that person, go do that. As soon as you realize it, like, that's true. But so much of the stuff that we feel, the guilt and the condemnation and the shame that we feel it's an emotional thing. It's a thing that where it's the enemy. A lot of times he's trying to bring up the past, or he's got you so fixated on something in your life that you need to fix, that you need to fix, right? Like, note those words. We think about it like that, and we can become so fixated on problems instead of Jesus, and he loves it when we are thinking about him. You'll keep in perfect peace those whose thoughts are fixed on you. I think it says that in Isaiah. It's real. Like, there's peace in God. There's a rest for our souls. There's a rest for our souls in worship. God inhabits our praises. He sits enthroned in our praises. Like, he's there. He's very present with us in times of trouble and when we need help. And I think it's easier a lot of times to go find God in that place than it is to when everything's fine and it's a normal day. Or if it feels like more of a boring day, or if it feels like a good day. The way our flesh wants to go in those situations is to go without God and to live our life in a way and put ourselves in places and around people and in situations where we don't need God, because there's a pleasure that comes from what's around us. And it's like everything's fine and we don't need him. But Jesus says, blessed are the hungry, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And he wants to fill us. He wants to fill us, and he wants us to be hungry for it. And it's like, man, if we're not feeling hungry, if there's not a craving for God, if there's not a desire for God, I'm just like, Lord, what must I do to want to know you like that, to have that desire in me, to have that hunger in me? And I think it's prayer and fasting every time. And there's lots of other things where that can come from too. It can happen through life experiences. It can happen through situations. It can happen through things other people say to us and encourage us in and build us up. It can happen through the sharing of testimonies. It can happen through miracles, all sorts of things. But there's a raw truth there. There's a raw truth there to if we're not feeling it, and if we want to feel it, and that's can be a bad way to say it, right? Because it's not about feelings, but it's very true. Hunger is a feeling. So when he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's got to be a way for us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. He loves us. He's our dad. He's not going to give us information. And that information, that verse came by way of Jesus. And I think it's in Matthew 5 or 6. The blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But he's not going to give us that information and that promise, for they shall be filled, without there being a way to do it and a way to walk it out. This is Isaiah 58. I'm going to flip there. I might need just a second. I didn't really have a set plan going into this. I was just worshiping this morning and got really in the presence of God. And I was like, whoa. And I got the sense that we should do this. So, yeah. Here we go. This is Isaiah 58. It's like these chapters, Isaiah 58 and the first one we went through, Psalm 84. Those have probably been, I think about those regularly more than many other verses. There's a lot of other verses that I think of regularly too, but those have been some like power, not really verses, but power chapters in my walk with the Lord. And I think God wants it to be that way for a lot of people, because there's some just key things there about enjoying God's presence, and also if we're not, how do we get there? So this Isaiah 58, he's talking about fasting, and he's kind of correcting them. Because they were doing fast, but they were kind of doing them messed up. They were doing them for the wrong reason. Fasting, biblically, is to go without eating. And can also mean to go without eating or drinking, if you look at Moses fast, and I believe Esther did a 3-day fast as well. Moses did 40 days, no food or no water. I think he did that twice in a row. And then Esther did 3 days with no food or no water. Lots of different kinds of fasts. Daniel did a fast where he was eating stuff. There was certain things he was eating. It was very specific. God told him to do that. So yeah, so this is Isaiah 58, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Rather, is this not the fast that I choose, to undo the bonds of wickedness, to tear to pieces the ropes of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break apart every enslaving yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into the house, and when you see the naked, that you cover him? And not to hide yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your healing, restoration, and new life will spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you, leading you to peace and prosperity. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away from your midst the yoke of oppression, the finger pointed in scorn towards the oppressed or the godly, and every form of wicked, sinful, unjust speech, and if you offer yourself to assist the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your soul in scorched and dry places, and give strength to your bones, and you'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you'll raise up and restore the age-old foundations of buildings that have been laid to waste. You'll be called the repairer of the breach and restorer of the streets. Yeah. And he talks about the Sabbath. If you turn back your foot from unnecessary travel on the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a spiritual delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it not going your own way or engage it in your own pleasure or speak in your own idle words, then you will take pleasure in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the high places of the earth, and I will feed you with the promise heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He's gonna feed us with that because we're hungry. The things of this world will grow strangely dim when we fast and when we pray. And we think about it. A lot of times we're like, oh God, they're doing a 21-day fast, or they're doing a 7-day fast, or they're doing a 40-day fast. It's not like that. Some people do just jump in and do that, and that's awesome, but that's not what happened for me. That's not it at all. I started to hear the gospel, the real thing, for the first time, and I started to get alone with God like 5 years ago. And I'm like, God, if you're real, you got to show me, because I don't believe any of this. I've seen miracles. I've seen healings. I've seen the power of God. I think God's real, but I don't think Jesus is real, and I don't think the Bible's real at all. I think this whole thing is crazy. And I started to get alone with God, and I believe during that time, like, there was a couple weeks where I got saved. It wasn't a day. There was no like salvation prayer where I got saved. It was a couple of weeks. It was like 2 or 3 weeks. And during that time when I started to get alone with God, I believe I started to fast even before I could say I was really like saved. Because I'd heard people talk about it, and I knew it was in the Bible, and I heard testimonies about it. And so I knew there was something there. And God really revealed himself to me in that place. And that's kind of how I got saved. It wasn't by fasting. It was just, that's God came and made the word real to me during that time. And that's when I first started fasting and just getting alone with God. And like, God, would you make sense of this? I don't get it. And it's like, I want to get it, but I don't believe it at all. And he just started to light up the gospel to me. But now, so 5 years later, I've never gone long not without fasting, but without like having like a deep longing for God. And that wasn't perfect, like, and no means was my life perfect since I got saved. But I've lived really free, overall really free, from the accusation that comes from the enemy in our own minds. And I think we can all live like that. And it's not, we're not talking about perfection. There's that song, it's like, you never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. Ooh, we're in the Father's house. However it goes, something like that. But it's so true, he wants our yes. He wants our yes. It's like obedience. Obedience leads to holiness. Obedience leads to holiness. Obedience leads to more and more freedom. This is, I have this marked. Obedience leads to, gosh, where is it? There's something about it in here. I can't find it. But there's lots of places in the New Testament where you look at obedience leading to holiness. They talk about it many times in there. Like how we're purified by our obedience to the word. It's awesome. And it's little steps right away. Even if we've gone, it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. Even if we've gone, you know, 30, if someone's gone 30 years being a Christian, but you got into a season where you've just been out of it and you've been down and you've been in a place where there's just a lot of brokenness, and as a result, a lot of sin, a lot of complacency, a lot of just living for yourself. And it's there's, God's not bringing condemnation on that or shame or anything. It's not from the Lord. But it's small steps of obedience that God uses. He hints at, he puts opportunities in front of us and speaks to us the whole time, because it's like the whole time he's saying, I love you. The whole time he's saying, I'm believing for your best. The whole time he's saying, it doesn't have to be this way. You can be free. And it's small steps of obedience that bring us from a place of real brokenness, from a place of being way down and out, to, I should have marked the page, in Isaiah. What did he say? He said, like, riding on the high places. This was at the very end of that part that we read. Then you will take pleasure in the Lord, and I'll make you ride on the high places of the earth. Small steps of obedience. Small steps entering into the presence of God. Small steps beginning to get alone with him and worship in prayer. And small steps fasting. It starts with a meal, or it starts with a juice fast, or it starts with, you know, you're like, I'm going to fast till lunch, but you make it till 10 o'clock and then you eat a Hot Pocket or something, you know? Or like, yeah, I'm going to spend 10 minutes with God this morning. And you just give that time to him and you say, God, I'm not looking to just read my Bible. I'm not looking to just do a devotion. I want to know you. I pray you'd reveal yourself to me during this time. God, I want you. More than anything, God, I want you. And even though it doesn't feel like that at times, I'm just giving myself to you. And I'm declaring that over my life right now. And you just go. And it starts with 5-10 minutes. And real quick, we can get into just a beautiful experience. Experiencing the presence of God. it starts with 5-10 minutes, then it's an hour, then it's 2 hours, 3 hours, and starts with skipping a meal, fasting, and you know, you make it till lunch one day, and then the next day you make it till supper, and the next day you make it till bedtime, and you eat a huge meal because you're like, oh my gosh, I went like the whole day without eating, and then the next day you make it the whole day, and you end up going 2 days and three, and God's speaking to you like you clearer than you've ever heard Him before. And the fruit of that is in your life. The fruit of that is your conversations you're having with people. The fruit of that is the way that you are thinking about the people around you, the people at your job, the people at your church, your family members, your spouse, your kids. The fruit of that, it's God lights you up. He lights up your life. He lights up your life and begins to shine through you. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. It's that going on. He talks about being the light of the world. He says, you're the salt of the earth. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. That's what comes of it. And that's for all of us. That's for every one of us. What does it look like to burn? What does it look like to be on fire? What does it look like to give Him your yes? What does it look like today in your life from wherever you are, whether you've been in a season of just a glorious time with God, or you've been in a season of busyness and it feels like a mess, or you've been in a season of just down and low and something happened where life came along and you got hurt and you got wounded and you got away from the pack and you've just been going through life. Wherever we're at, what does it look like to take a step of faith today, to take a step in His direction? He's right here all the time. He's never far from us. But what does it look like today to give Him our yes? I promise you, He's so excited about your yes. He's so excited about that small step of faith. He's so excited because to us it might seem like a little bit, but to Him it's everything. If one sin, one little sin is the same as the biggest, most evil, horrible sin ever, then one step of obedience is as big as the biggest thing that would seem like the biggest step of obedience. What does your yes look like today? God loves you. He is so for you. He is so about you. He is so thinking about you. Whether we're on fire, whether we're in a spot where we think we're on fire, Paul talks about, he's like, you know, my conscience is clear as far as I know, but I'm not trusting in that. I'm trusting in Jesus and the cross. So whether it's going really well or whether it's not going well at all, Father God, I just bless everybody listening to this, and I speak life over them. I speak Jesus over them. I pray, God, for a greater revelation of the cross, of the gospel, of what it means to live a healed life in our physical bodies and our souls, because your body was broken for us. What it means to be totally free from sin, though our sins were red like scarlet. You made us white as snow by the shedding of your blood. We've been completely forgiven. Our entire slate is clean. It's wiped away. You're not even thinking about it as far as the east is from the west. You've thrown our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Father God, I just bless everybody listening to this. I speak life over them. I pray that there'd be a practical application that comes out of them listening to this for whatever amount of time it was. And I just bless them, Lord. Amen.